be all my plea. Jesus hath lived, hath died for me.
Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17. This is the great penitential psalm of King David, following his great fall into sin with Bathsheba, and then being restored by the prophet Nathan. He says to the Lord, "You do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. On the interior back wall of this building, there is a plaque that denotes that this beautiful chapel was given as a gift from one donor. Just think of the amount of that offering to God, the amount of that gift to God. Sometimes when I think about gifts like that to the church, or maybe certain things that people are willing to go off and do, for maybe mission work and so on, can be very impressed with that. The kinds of sacrifices that people can make for the sake of God and for the sake of His kingdom. I can be very impressed, if you will, with kind of outward things by the size of a gift or the degree of willingness to do something. And there's a natural urge inside of me to think that somehow what I offer to God is what's going to make God ultimately pleased with me, or to placate Him in some way, to make Him happy with me. And the larger the gift is that I give to Him, the happier He is going to be with me as His child. I don't know if you found this for yourself, but sometimes when I've maybe done something a little unusual in terms of something nice, morally good, which maybe doesn't happen too often, but if I've done something like that, I can have a tendency to take some pride in that. I can have a tendency to kind of feel a little better about my relationship with God based upon just how I've done this or whatever I've done. When our lives seem to reach a little bit higher level of sanctification than maybe they once were, or maybe when we see that our lives of sanctification are at a little higher level than others around us, even those who profess to be Christian, we can somehow interpret this inside of ourselves as if we feel that we have a better standing with God because of this. And we tend to see ourselves then in a good light in front of God because of this. This is man-made thinking. It is a false type of thinking. It really is what earthly religion is based upon. It tries to manufacture ways for us to somehow demonstrate to God our own goodness or our degree of striving to be more godly and religious. The psalm in front of us and these words that we have selected from Psalm 51 shows how the Holy Spirit, through the words of David, completely contradicts this way of thinking. Even when it comes to offering the very sacrifices God Himself prescribed through Moses in the Old Testament, we can even take the things God has told us to do and use them in a false way. God here is distinguishing for us all the other religions in the world, which are based upon man's thinking, from the one true religion that comes from above. The true religion of God does not require that man somehow has to come up with something to make God happy by what he does, or by following certain rules, or by trying to attain a certain level of sanctification, or by giving a certain level of gift. Our sins against God are not somehow wiped out by anything that we can offer to God, by anything that we can do for God, or by our certain level of sanctification, or how well we can obey Him. Listen to what Martin Luther said based on this text. "If you try to be right with God because you are a good citizen, a faithful spouse, or an honest merchant, you make a most delightful thing into an abomination which God cannot stand." True heavenly divine religion flips this thinking completely on its head, these impulses in us. It completely annihilates that. Here is the great irony of true religion from heaven. When you are the most aware of how unfit you are for God and for His kingdom, that is when you are the most fit for God and His kingdom. Listen to what David says again. The sacrifices of God, in other words, the ones that he really wants, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. The prophet Isaiah said it this way, "This is the one I esteem," God speaking to us, "this is the one I hold highly, he who is humble and contrite and trembles at my word." It's the internal matters of our hearts that matter the most to God, not the gifts that we bring with our hands, not the things that we do with our lives. And the greatest gift that you can bring to God is to have a humble admission of your guilt, of how frequently you have broken His law, and a longing then for His forgiveness and grace. That is His definition of true religion. And so before you run off to a foreign land to serve in some great mission field, know this, that the greatest offering you can bring to God is simply a penitent heart. Before you go and sign up for the seminary and dedicate your entire life to the preaching of the gospel, know this, that the most pleasing sacrifice you can offer God is simply to recognize how badly you need His grace in Christ. Before you go and empty your bank account with an enormous gift to His church, know this, that there is no higher gift, there is no higher form of worship to God than having your heart depend on His mercy for you to get to heaven. The outward mechanical act of worship to God really means nothing to Him if it's not flowing from a heart that acknowledges its guilt and is leaning on His forgiveness in Christ. The beast, the lamb, the goat, the ox, the turtle dove, which God wants you to bring and to take out your knife and slaughter on His altar as an offering to Him, is simply your own sinful heart, just like mine, acknowledging how desperately we need His mercy. This true religion is comforting to even the most desperate sinner. Just think of it. This is all God asks of us, to just acknowledge we need to be forgiven to get to heaven. In fact, sometimes it might even be easier for those who have fallen the deepest and the most often. God doesn't look for any sacrifice or moral living from you in order to have you get right with Him in His sight, but He simply gives you the status of being right with Him when you acknowledge that by yourself you're not right with Him. He simply gives you that status because of what His Son has done on your behalf. Just take that today. This doctrine, this teaching, this true religion from heaven is why Jesus always had His eye on the contrite. He always had His eye in His ministry in the Gospels on those who were the lowly, the crushed sinners, the ones who were wrestling with their guilt, sometimes the ones who had the most despicable record in front of humanity. Just like somebody who goes off to get trained to be a rescue squad volunteer, who gets all of this amazing training to help people and to save them and knows the medical issues that a paramedic would know and so on. When that individual is riding on the subway to work, his eye is constantly looking around for places where he can use that training and to provide his help. So it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes into this world through His word and sacrament, He is looking for the places where people need His help, where they need His mercy and compassion and forgiveness. He says to us, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. It is not the healthy who need the physician, but the sick." So let's just simply acknowledge how sick we really are, and let Him do His work. Amen. Please rise. Let's join our hearts in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.